Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Hey, Kalai. Wow, it's like I can actually hear you. You actually sound very close. That's because we're in the same room.
That's right. We're recording from my studio because of the power outage.
Yeah, so long story short, ladies and gentlemen, New Jersey tends to have some wild weather and everything was clear. And then out of nowhere, this giant thunderstorm came out of nowhere and knocked out power in my house. So fortunately, Kalai happens to be not terribly far. So I am recording with her in the Game Stuff headquarters, central power station, HQ something. I couldn't think of anything. So there you go.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. This week's topic of the show is we will be talking about the tariffs and how they're going to be affecting our gaming.
Ooh, tariffs.
But let's get this party started. Have you been playing anything this week, Roberto?
Well, I've been revisiting a lot of titles. I mean, there are some new titles in my blog, but I just haven't gotten to them yet. It's been kind of a busy summer, especially coming off of too many games. But the games I have been playing include Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus, which I have talked about before on the PlayStation Vita. It's nice, compact, action-packed. It's a nice port of the 360 PS3 game and in the handheld package, and it's actually pretty cool. So I'm working my way through the campaign. It's getting harder. There's bigger monsters. Now I'm fighting werewolves in, I think, Venice or France or something like that. So far, so good. And then the next game, this is not a new game. It's kind of old, but it's actually kind of cool, called Nihil Umbra. It's from, I forgot the name of the studio, but they're a Spanish studio. And it's a pretty cool platformer. It's a nice, cool, calm, collected platformer where you are a piece of darkness and you manifest to become something different than darkness. The darkness tries to consume you, but you want to find your own identity and you want to survive and live. And I got to the last section there. It's actually on the Nintendo Switch and Vita, and I think that's it. I don't think it's on PS4, but it's actually pretty cool. The same guys are making a new game called like Lupo and the Space something. Oh my gosh, I gotta look it up. It's a new Switch game coming on July 11th, and I'll be talking about that sometime, maybe next week or the week after, I should say. And then finally, EDF 4.1 Wing Diver, the shooter. I've mentioned this before. I worked on it a little bit. They actually happen to have new training missions launched. So it's like 60 little missions that can last you anywhere between a few minutes and a few seconds. And so far, so good. It's EDF. It's a spaceship shooter. And that's what it is. So, and finally, I might have talked about this before, but Hell is Other Demons on the Switch. It's actually a pretty cool, brutally hard, but pretty cool side-scroller action shooting game. I was working on it for an hour today. There was something called the Lurker. It was like this giant sewage fish from hell that tried to kill me. And it took me about a good 30 minutes to slay him, but I got him. So far, so good. What about you, Kalai?
The only game I've been playing is the new Super Mario Maker 2. I've been doing the single-player campaign because there's 100-plus levels to play. So it's been taking me a bit. And in between that, I've been playing our community-created boards, which have been amazing. Please keep them coming. Please keep posting them. I will keep playing them, even if they're rough and they want to make me throw my controller against the wall. There might be a level I'm having difficulty with. You know who you are, listener.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm surfing the Twitter feed and it's just been maniacally wild freak scientist type levels that have been made, and I don't know how people conceive these dastardly machinations of despair and horror inside of Mario, a peaceful, welcoming, heartwarming video game. It's just, it is the definition of like, just hell on earth a little bit with some of these levels. I'm like, wow, how do you do it?
All right. So let's get to our topic of this show. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo have banded together to ask the U.S. government to remove the consoles off the list of goods that is that has the tariff in effect. We want to talk about how these video games are going to affect the industry. So let's start with the hardware. Right now, there's a 25% increase, which means that next generation PS5 and the new Project Scarlet could be cost almost $100 more due to these tariffs. Now, these companies would have to make a very important decision. That decision is to take a bigger cut on the console or actually pass that 25% on to us, the consumers. So what do you think is going to happen if this tariff goes through? Do you think they will pass it on to us?
I would hope not, because this is coming at a very critical juncture right now. Right now, we are at the position that we're going to get new systems within the next year to year and a half. Having the tariffs passed on, coupled with the fact that this is new hardware and technology, that would be a really big ball breaker or back breaker for consumers in general, because we're going to already be paying, I'm guessing, I would hope to believe, $400 for each system if these tariffs were not in effect, maybe $500 at most. But now if you add these tariffs on, and not even including local state tax and things like that, we are looking at something really kind of breaking for the consumer, and that could be very catastrophic. So it's an interesting position. I never thought like we'd be in this particular avenue of sorts, because with tariffs and things like that, because of the fact that we've had a really good, strong economy, and we've had a good system for systems and buying systems and games like that sort. So now we're in a position where, you know, obviously lawmaking and tariffs could very well affect the industry in a bad way. And also, I will add, if you're a tabletop gamer, keep in mind those board games are made with wood, plastics, all sorts of other materials. The tariffs will also be handed off to them as well. So it might be more expensive to play that game of Monopoly, ironically.
So, all right.
Yeah.
I think that they will be forced to pass that tariff onto the consumers, because everybody knows when these consoles come out, they're already taking a hit. They're mm-hmm. already taking a hit on price to get the consoles out, because their money gets on the software. But now that hike is even better. I don't know if they can take a $200 loss on a console to get it into our hands.
Right. I mean, looking back on it, I believe that the PS4, they put it at $400, which is $100 less than the Xbox One, and they kind of took a hit, but then that helped them fortunately get into the black. So, and even the VR, I think the VR I think was already in the black when it first sold out in a few years ago, but yeah, but you're right. There's always going to be that bit of a hit, because obviously if you go and make it too expensive, then no one's going to buy your product. And there's been a lot of systems that have gone the way of the dinosaur because they had extraordinarily terrible starting prices. I think the Philips CDI, which is the eyesore of the industry, also the home of YouTube poops, had started off at over $1,000. And for it being the most cutting edge game system of the 1990s, and it obviously was a terrible, terrible system, but also it flopped hard. But part of it was that it was $1,000 for those reasons. So that's something that to really keep an observation on. It's very dicey, and I just, you know, I'm hoping that there's a good choice made in all this, to think about the fact that, you know, the people in the industry, and to think about the fact that, you know, we're already paying a lot of money for games. I mean, I spent I don't even know if I want to talk about how much I spent on too many games, but, you know, but I will remember, you know, I got a VR and everything for $200, and I was like, you know, I treated myself to that because I deserved it, but it's expensive stuff already. And now, like, if you go ahead and do this, this could very well pose a lot of problems.
Now let's move on to software. So we have things like AAA titles. These AAA titles, I mean, your physical releases, your collector's edition, they're all coming out of China, which will increase the price of all titles. And now, keep in mind, audience, the gaming industry hasn't raised prices, and I mean over like 20 years.
I think like maybe a decade probably, because I remember the new PS2 game was $50. Like the, and I think that some were 60 depending on what you were getting. Like I think I remember one year there was Call of Duty 2, and if you got Call of Duty 2 the special edition, which came with like map packs and stuff, that was 60, but that was the special edition. Then I think when the PS3 came out, that's when it became like the standard to be 60 bones.
Yeah, but over the life of 20 years constantly, $10 isn't a lot of money.
Right, that's true.
They're taking hits on these as it is with the secondary market and everything. With being a tariff, that's going to make it harder for these AAA games to not raise their prices. So now we're increasing the prices of our AAA games, which are already expensive. And of course, the indie scene might have to increase some of their pricing, like limited run games.
Right, and that's another thing too, because you have to think about the fact that it's digital games, it's physical games being affected. And it's funny because digital games typically are a little cheaper because you bypass the manufacturing costs of creating something physical. The disc, the Blu-ray, the case, the plastic, the paper material, that kind of stuff. And I remember that was one of the big benefits, like when digital stuff had just begun. But now if you have these tariffs come in, that might also affect the digital agencies of our games. And then of course, you're not including the, you know, and that's not even including tax and things like that. So it's that's like just how far reaching these tariffs are. And then also the fact that, as Kalai mentioned, a lot of this stuff is from China, and China has one of the strongest economies in the world. And this could affect relations that China is trying to really, you know, with us, in the sense that China has been trying to get their games over to the United States, and it might not, you know, work very well, especially for those that are smaller creators and they're trying to get their games out there, which is already hard enough as it is. So that's another possibility too. Like it's going to be really, it might very well sour the drive and the encouragement to creatively make games.
Yeah, because then these both AAA and indies have to make a decision. And that decision is, do they make games for the next console because it's more expensive and it can't get into the consumers' hands? Or do they actually hold back and just keep developing for an older system? So there's a chance that a lot of these AAA titles and these indies, more so on the indie side, could fold, because they can't have the development cost of getting their product onto the platform that is most wanted.
To put things in a similar perspective, last year, the European Union passed the GDPR laws, which was a set of laws designed to protect privacy. Now, the laws also increased a lot of fees, a lot of costs, and there was a game called, if I recall correctly, Loadout. It was a free-to-play game on the PS4. Trying to be a little cartoony, kind of like over the top, like when you shot like an alien or whatever, like, you know, there would just be tons of blood, like, you know, cartoonish blood. And I guess it wasn't bad. I played a little bit. I thought it was okay. Not something I would play all the time, but it was neat. And then they were forced to shut down because they could not keep up with the costs of the GDPR and how, like, that much of that got jacked. I mean, and then even like here in the domestically, limited run games, their first batch of games for a few years did not have the ESRB rating. Then it was determined that they had to have the ESRB rating, which, as you know, the rated M for mature, rated E for everyone. And that's costly to be able to, because you have to fork over a good amount of cash to the ESRB to have that there, which is required to be sold. I mean, it's kind of ironic because limited run games is a post-retail distributor, and it's not necessarily within the lines of retail, but ESRB just felt that, yeah, we need to stick the sticker on, and that was costly. So now you can imagine all that, and then on top of the tariffs, just how much that could be a ball breaker.
The other thing I just thought of, based off your points of talking about free-to-play, do you think free-to-play would become more popular as a way for developers to make money? Because they can develop and then put out skins and stuff and tax those skins.
It would probably... It could be more popular. It could also be more detrimental. Like, I mean, we have to wait and see, because it'll be free, and then it depends on, once again, microtransactions. It depends on those kind of things and how those transactions will affect the bottom line. They could probably be more expensive. I mean, it was, $2 to own a red dot in Call of Duty Black Ops or something like that? Like a red dot, just that's it. So imagine maybe that being $5 to own a red dot or some special camo for a rifle, and where it normally would have been like $1.99 or $0.50 or something like that. So that's one thing that could happen. But on the flip side of the coin, it could also bring in more persons, because all they have to do is just download it and enjoy it. And, you know, and obviously for some of the best free-to-play games, you can entirely play the game without having to worry about purchasing anything. That's where Warframe is popular. That's where Space Lords is popular, and Rem Royale and Paladins. Like, you can play those games entirely without predatory microtransactions. So the other thing, avenue, could be that they could become more predatory. Maybe, you know, having to be charged, I don't know, a power pack to be able to play matches. Excuse me. So that's something that's a very real possibility. I mean, it is something to observe. I'd have to say it would be neat to see what Warframe and what Digital Extremes does in particular as the news goes on about these tariffs and what they would do. And I would hope that as, like, the time goes on, they are pressured into asking, like, you know, and answering, like, what would you do if these tariffs went into effect? What kind of business practices would you then consider? Would it become more predatory? Would you stay streamlined? Would you find other means? Maybe perhaps some of these free-to-play games, their makers, they would think, okay, you know what? Maybe we should compensate with a spin-off standalone game for $40 or $60, like Warframe, the strategic Warframe RTS, I mean, or something, or other free-to-play games, like there was a Warhammer, the Age of Sigmar, you know, maybe have a more standard, like a Age of Sigmar game, but have it be tactical strategy and $15 and have it, or first person shooter, something like that. So there's a lot of, gray area there. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Now let's move on to peripherals. And that's another thing that people probably don't think about. I mean, let's look at the Nintendo Switch. That Pro Controller is $60 for a Pro Controller.
yeah, because oh my gosh, I still can't believe I did that. But, you know, because in case no one knows, yeah, after too many games, after the convention ended, I went to King of Prussia Mall to pick up these controllers. You know what happened, though? Because I said, I'm going to pick up these controllers at too many games. If I don't, I'm going to buy them anyway. So I did. But yeah, that was a bit of a bite in the good old wallet there, especially after checking my bank accounts. But it was worth it because, you know, it's a good controller. But the point is yeah, it's 60, like that Nintendo Switch wireless Pro controller, that was a 60 bone investment, along with even that PlayStation VR aim controller, which, you know, the little rifle thing that you held, that was 60 bones. And that's not cheap. Now you can imagine that being easily $80, maybe $100, not even including and that's just before the tax with the tariffs, and even just other peripherals. Like, imagine what else is there? Like, what people, yeah, you know, the game pads, the...
Let's talk about VR. VR right. is expensive as it is, and VR needs to be in the people's hands because that's the only way the platform is going to grow. If you don't want to go out and buy the platform, who's going to develop for it? So it was really nice when Oculus Rift dropped their price to try to be more closely aligned with the PlayStation VR, and then... Of course, Vive didn't want to drop their price, but they finally did to try to get it even more accessible to people. Now they're going to be 25% higher again. All the VRs are going to go up with the little bit of software there is. Is it really going to be worth it? And will that cause the PSVR to fold because of it? So, right. Yeah, there's a lot of... This really affects more the peripherals. The peripherals are... A very big, because I don't know about you, but I've probably bought at least 3 or 4 PS4 controllers.
Yeah, definitely I've bought several of them over the past so many years. And then because I had the launch one, then I had got a gold one, or the PlayStation one, and then I got another one with the army camo. So that's going to be expensive. And it's just good to have, like, several controllers, just because then you can, you know, switch, like, you know, play, use the other one while you're playing long PlayStation. So that's something to consider. The... a good PlayStation 4 controller charger. Like, I have, like, the one that controls, like, charges 2 at a time. I've got the, what else do I have? I've got the PlayStation camera for the VR. So there's just a lot that can go, like, that could be really, like, a really bad pinch in all this. So, oh, and then on top of that, I have a Western Digital external hard drive, 8 terabytes. So that's going to go, I mean, that is technology, and it does have probably components from China. So that's definitely going to go up. So
absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So would these tariffs affect your gaming habits?
I think they would. They would definitely let me tell me, like, you know what, maybe I'm not going to buy this right away. Maybe I'm just going to wait. Maybe I'm just going to, you know, not pay attention to this right now. Or maybe, you know what, just constantly ask me, do I really need this or do I really want that? But it could very well cause me to miss out on certain things. Like right now, for example, the PlayStation VR has this rudder. This, like, you put your feet down and, like, it allows you to turn quickly. I don't know if you've heard, you haven't heard of it?
No, definitely not, as I have room scaling for my Oculus, so I just walk around the room.
So now, like, it's the weirdest thing, like, it looks like a Roomba, but it's for your feet. And then one of those, like, vacuum cleaner things. So then you put your feet down, but that thing's expensive, it's $100 just to be able to, like, turn on a dime with your feet. And I'm like, why would I want to get this? But my point, there are some people who are going to want to get this, and, you know, or they really need it for something, and it's like these tariffs are going to affect that. And it's like, I mean, as a consumer, I'm looking at that and thinking, do I really need that? I don't need that. But it's kind of like getting those like driving peripherals for like driving games. I'm just not like that. You know, getting the pedals and all that stuff. But anyway, all that said, so it's like, I think it is going to affect a lot more people and then, you know, it in various ways. For some, maybe they might wait till Black Friday, perhaps, to hopefully get a good deal off of a game that's been out all year. Or maybe it might, you know, that might not be so sufficient. It might also cause people to be more attentive to sales and inexpensive games, smaller games, indie games. But at the same time, it might also affect them, too, when your favorite indie studios like Supergiant Games might struggle with these tariffs. And you know, not that their games are doing bad at all, but it's like, You know, the cost doesn't really, you don't really know the pinch of the extra cost until it actually hits you. You know, like it's kind of like we live in, you know, like in this area, we're not too far away from New York. And it used to be like a couple bucks to cross the bridge into New York if you want to go to the Bronx or something. You used to go to the Bronx all the time. Now it's like 20, and that was just growing up in the 90s and thousands. Now it's like $20 to cross the George W. Bridge. So $20, what can that get you? Coffee, food, groceries. Something that you need, maybe put it down towards, you know, a bill or something. $20 is a lot of money. And that's like, and I don't know, I mean, that's the tolls are a whole nother story. But then now you imagine this, like that extra pinched money, that's like money that can do it towards other things. And I think it's ultimately going to be very detrimental. And I hope that people do the right thing.
I think there's going to be more sales on the digital market if they do increase the price of the digital market, but I don't know if they necessarily will. I personally like digital, so I would still stick with my digital stuff. I would reconsider next generation. I might have to wait on one of the consoles. So now I'm torn between Xbox and PlayStation, and right now I'm a Halo fan. I'm leaning towards Xbox. Because we're going to want to play the new Halo and the new Gears of War. Oh, I'm so excited about that. But with these tariffs in place, if our prices do go up, the next consoles being backwards compatible will kind of alleviate that. Because if I at least get a new console, then I still have a library of games that I can play.
Right, yeah. And so that's also something to consider too. So with digital sales and digital distribution. So I admit that my last couple purchases have been digital. So as mentioned before, that might actually be a saving grace of sorts, because I remember that was always the benefit of buying digital, the ability to bypass the cost of certain things associated with releasing a physical game. So that might actually be somewhat of an advantage, but we'll have to wait and see. You know, it's a very volatile world out there in the world of politics. And we just, you know, we gotta hope for the best that somebody uses some common sense and gets a pulse on things and everything goes well. I mean, I give a lot of props to Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo banding together, writing a letter, taking a stance on this as companies filled with people who are passionate about the same thing that we're passionate about. And they want to make sure that this industry has an opportunity to be healthy and to flourish.
Yeah, so do you want to jump into our Facebook and hear what our users have to say? Let them join our conversation.
Sure.
I posted in the Facebook group, this week's topic of the show is the imposing tariffs and how they will affect us as a consumer. Here's my question to you guys. If tariffs cause an increase in video games and hardware, how will that affect your video game spending habits?
Who's that? Ilya Page?
That's I Yield.
I Yield.
From, of course, our sister show, our Trophy Horse podcast.
Oh, okay, so he puts a puppy in. It's a GIF, and it says yes.
Well, yes, that's because I can't write, and I messed up the question, and I asked, would it affect you, and he said yes. So I re-win and edit the podcast, the post. He says, I definitely buy less games or buy more games on the cheap.
Right. It could make like conventions even a lot more popular, because one thing about too many games and other conventions is that they tend to discount their prices or like, you know, and negotiate. Like I went to this, like one guy, he said, and I had the PS, like I said, I had Naruto and I had that one other game. He's like, I'll give you $15. And I said, okay, that's a fair price. That's $7 each game. I picked up Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, not this year, but last year for $10. So that might be something to consider. You know, if I'm not going to buy a new game at a new store and, you know, and maybe if I have like a couple of games to kind of, you know, bide my time, like multiplayer stuff, I can just wait until a convention like that and then just buy everything I'm looking for.
And you make a good point. Right now, the reason these free-to-play model and these loot boxes are thriving is because the gaming industry was trying to avoid that secondary market. With mm-hmm. the increase in tariffs, that secondary market is going to boom again.
Right.
People are going to wait until they can get it cheap at GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon says, it affects the pricing of physical copies. Everyone would go digital. Of course, that would only be viable option until your hard drive fills up. Then we'd be screwed because we couldn't afford larger hard drives because of the tariffs.
Right, yeah. I mean, perhaps you can probably get by with like a thumb drive. Yeah, you can at least for the PS4, you can get like a something. I mean, it has to be a certain format, but like thumb drives are they went from being like 40 bucks for like 512 MB to like $20 and I don't know 64 MB or gigabytes, so or a terabyte, or I don't know. Or,
at that point, I'd rather just put the money towards a hard drive.
Yeah, true.
Or go out and buy a hard drive before the tariffs hit.
Yeah, like a doomsday bunker of hard drives.
Yeah. JT says, I don't really spend money on games right now, just focusing what I already own. So I guess he is right now not considering getting any new games with the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for participating in our discussion. So do you have any closing thoughts on this subject?
Well, that it's unfortunate that, you know, with the irregularity and the kind of the disorganization of our current, you know, political climate and administration at this time that it's come to this, you know, and that once again, it's just another, I find it to be personally just an ignorant takeaway, you know, from the administration that just, you know, trying to do something without understanding the implications and consequences. Like every decision made in anything that you do, let alone politics, has an effect. There is a cause and an effect to absolutely everything. And there's, you know, and some of those consequences, you're not going to like them. And once they happen, they're not going to be able to be, if they can be reversed, it's going to take a long time. So ultimately, this is a case of where common sense and being able to understand, you know, the people behind this particular industry is going to be what hopefully rings out and makes it for people to come to make the best decision about this. So personally, me, I'd have to say that the tariffs, definitely no. That's I'm hoping that happens, just so then we can keep things the way they're going and keep, you know, the relations with all these other countries good. And yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, put it this way, gaming has survived a lot of things. We survived a lot of politicians thinking that we were the cause of violence. We've survived the big economic recession, you know, that put a lot of people in jeopardy. So that's one thing about gaming.
Also, we avoid becoming a disease.
Wait, with what?
We are. It's a psychological disorder.
Oh, yeah. Because I mean, that's another topic altogether. But like, I'd have to say that the UN should have probably known that a little bit better, you know, or redefined it, because there is no video game disorder. Like, it's like, I think in my all my time, there's been like two people that, like, you know, they played video games and they didn't eat and they had to go to the hospital, like, or three stories I've read. Like, I personally don't know anybody that did that. I mean, and me, you know, I mean, I did that whole 4 a.m., staying up until 4 a.m. playing Metal Gear Rising Revengeance on a Saturday because, you know, Armstrong was a little bitch that had to be slain. But, you know, I took like 2 hours on that guy. He was hard.
No, I've heard of people. I heard of one case where a person's son, they got a call from the school that they never went to school. And that was said, oh, that was really weird because we put him on the bus. Well, he would go to the bus stop, and when his parents left, he would turn around and go home and video game. So the parents took the 360 and hid it in their trunk for a year.
Oh, wow. That's whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, that sucks for him, but at the same time, that kid had skill and guts. So,
yeah.
But in any case, yeah, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, even now we're proving that wrong with charities and what we do and Extra Life and Stack Up and all everything in between. And even now this Hope Love Gaming that I found from that's in Rettner, PA, that helps people with wheelchairs and, you know, needs replacements for wheelchairs and prosthetics, you know, raises money for them. So I think we're defeating that too. So my point being is I have a really good feeling we're going to defeat this. What about you, Kalai?
With the tariffs, if it is passed on to the consumer, again, I'm going to have to really think about getting a PlayStation. As much as I do want it, I also might even think about doing more computer gaming, because right now I have a computer gaming system that actually does work, and I can still get cheap games that way.
Right.
I would definitely try to stick to more secondary market stuff, and of course digital games if I can. I might actually have to decrease my spending on video games, which is just a thought I can't even think about right now.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'd say that one's a case of just knowing that you've got a lot of games to go through and then just prioritizing which ones. Like, I think right now, I think there's probably one game I'll get in September. And then the nice thing is that I have contacts with reviews and things like that, so that might help too. But I think, honestly, I'm not picking up a game until at least, like, probably Doom. When it comes out, because I have to still play the other Wolfensteins and then play Youngblood, and I have to get through the Wolfensteins first. So, but yeah, it's like that. It's, I mean, at least it's one silver lining. It's like maximizing the value of the games that you already have, platinum trophies and all that stuff. And, but yeah, you know, it's but for the people who like to play new stuff all the time, right, when it comes out, this could be very well a bummer.
Yeah, exactly. So, thank you for listening. Now, if you do like us, please subscribe and rate us. We're on Twitter. Just follow us at GameStuffCast. You can go into our Facebook group and search for GameStuff Podcast, ask for an invite, and we'll invite you. We also have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Now, how can they get in touch with you, Roberto?
All right, so PlayStation Network ID is VectorMan88. You can find me on StackUp.org as MajorSloth1988. I'm a writer there. We'll be volunteering and doing all sorts of cool stuff throughout July and August to support the troops. We might be going to PAX. They're definitely going to PAX West again. I might be joining. That's not certain in stone yet, so we'll have to wait and see about that. But so far, it's a great organization. We are looking for somebody to be to work with us with streaming. And being able to reach out to influencers. So if you've got any kind of streaming background, send them a message, and they'd love to get in touch with you. Also, I am a writer for But Why Though Podcasts. It's a friendly geek community, and we write talk about everything from video games to comic books to anime to graphic novels to movies to so on and so forth. So I'm a writer there. I got my articles for Too Many Games coming up, Wizard World Philly, reviews for Over the Top Tower Defense, and so on and so forth. And so look for that there. And finally, Nintendo Switch. Just let me know. The Facebook Game Stuff Podcast Facebook page. And that's in the Twitter page as well. And that's about it. Oh, and then lastly, Twitter at JehuTy88. JehuTy88. Okay.
And your PlayStation?
VectorMan88. I said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Kalai21. That's Kalai, the number 21. You can also find me on Steam on that same name. You can find me on Xbox at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, number 21, or PlayStation at Miley 1978. And of course, you can always find me on the podcast group talking about video games. And please come join our discussions. Please leave comments for us. Let us know how we're doing. We do want to talk to you guys. If you'd like to talk to Joe, who couldn't make it, you could find him at MrTMNT84 on all social platforms. Now, we are sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It does help out the site. You can also go to humblebundle.com. Just click on our show notes and do your shopping for computer PC games. We support the Extra Life charity. Just so you know, right now, I believe there is a PlayStation bundle up on Humble Bundle right now. Woo! So go check that out. If you do like this show, check out our other shows, The Trophy Horse and the Nintendo Dual Screens. I also want to thank Isaac Sego for doing our logo and the band Takeaway the Ugly. You can find all of their information in our show notes. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
May the Force be with you. Hopefully I have power next week. Have a good one, guys. Take care, and happy July 4th.